The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Well, did you know you can eat well on $4 a day? That's good and cheap. That's according to Leanne Brown with her brand new book, Good and Cheap. Leanne, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
All right, Good and Cheap. This book came about how?
Well, so it has probably a very different story from most cookbooks. This actually started out as my thesis project when I was studying at NYU for my master's in food studies, which is, you might wonder, what the heck is food studies?
It is food studies.
So food studies is this fairly new field of study. I think NYU has the oldest program, and it's only about 12 years old, and they've popped up sort of all over the country. The NYU program is sort of within the school of nutrition and public health, and kind of trying to get in the zone where those two sort of don't quite cover everything about food. So issues of, you know, sort of food policy, agricultural policy, how do we get food from the farm onto our plate? How do we get it into the cities? Why do supermarkets look the way they do? You know, all those sorts of things. And why do we make the decisions about food that we do? So some of the sort of cultural issues, some of the economic issues, a little bit more of that kind of stuff. And I, you know, I didn't know you could even study this until a few years ago. I found out about it, and then I had to move to New York from Canada to do that. So because it's sort of a new field of study, you can do any thesis, really. And so I thought that the best thing that I could do was to create something that would have this life that would last sort of longer than just in school, and hopefully that would be useful to a larger number of people. And I became really interested in, during my studies, I just became really interested in the food stamp program and the SNAP program. I think because of being a Canadian, we don't have that system up in Canada. And so I was just, it just continued to sort of eat at me and bother me that there's 46 million people in the United States that only have about $4 a day to work with. And that's really hard. It really seemed like they were left out of the conversation a lot of the time. And sort of being an avid home cook and I adore cooking. And I know that there's so much good that you can do really fairly easily. It doesn't take a great deal of skill, doesn't take even all that much thought. And I wanted to be able to share that with people. So I decided to create Good and Cheap.
You know, some of that, those studies, I'm sure, look at genetically modified foods. Canada, are they pretty much against that? Or are they with the United States?
You know, I would say it's like the States. It's sort of, it depends on where you are, if you're in a major city or not. I don't think there's quite as big a movement. Canadian food system is sort of, it's not that different, but it still is somewhat different. You know, prices tend to be higher. There's larger distances for everything, so things cost a little bit more. But there's a lot of the same, sort of are all part of the same system, so we get a lot of the same foods. So, of course, some things are genetically modified, and some things are labeled, and some things aren't. And certainly there's a movement to sort of at least label things. Yeah.
So how did you get involved with that study? I mean, it sounds like that you really love to cook.
Yes.
And you said, that sounds like a great study for me. I'm going to go to college and do that.
Right. Well, so so I got involved in the NYU program. I was living in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, where I was born and raised, and I had I'd worked for a few years in city politics, and it was really interesting. I really was enjoying it, but I knew it wasn't something that I wanted to do kind of forever. And one of the things when you're doing city politics, so I worked for a city councilor, and so you end up doing a bunch of different things, and you end up sort of being pulled in the direction of wherever the public wants you to go. You know, if people are really interested in one thing, that's what you have to work on. So I found myself really, really interested anytime we got to discuss food policy. I remember specifically there's this really interesting movement to sort of preserve some farmland on the edge of the city that they were thinking of converting into some other stuff. And people kind of were organizing around this. It was really fascinating. And I wanted to dig into that more. And I started to just want to work on those sorts of issues a lot more. But I sort of couldn't because I would have to, you know, be like, oh, dear, you know, cats are peeing in someone's yard. I guess I'll have to. No, it's not that bad. But anyway, it wasn't exactly what I had hoped. And so I knew that I was interested in that. But I didn't know how to even make a career out of food policy. It's sort of a strange career path. And I found out about the program, Food Studies at NYU, and it just really called my name. And so I was lucky enough to be accepted into the program or move to New York, and I've been there for about 3.5 years. Yeah.
So $4 a day, you can buy food. How do you do that? What was your interest? I mean, this started out pretty much as a blog, I guess.
Right. Well, yeah. So it started, I guess I told you, so it started out as my thesis project. And then at that point, I graduated. This was December of 2013. And I kind of told all my classmates, I want to get this out there to as many people as possible. And I started out by approaching, I thought that it would be a useful tool kind of for nonprofits in the city. And so I started to approach a few and people were really interested, but it was sort of difficult to figure out how we could partner to sort of bring it out to people. And after a few months, I kind of realized that I needed to basically do it myself if I was ever going to get there within a time frame that I was going to be satisfied with. So I decided to just basically make a website and put it up there. And initially, I didn't really tell a whole lot of people about it because I thought, you know, I'm going to kind of try to add some stuff to the website and before I, you know, experiment a little bit. But then actually just within a few weeks, this was, I think I started the website beginning of April. And then by the end of April of 2014, it ended up hitting Reddit, this really, really popular website. And it kind of went viral within about a day. I came home from work one day. I had like a zillion emails in my inbox and all, and I saw that my website traffic had gone crazy. And before that, like, I don't know, like maybe 200 people had visited the website like all month. Like it was barely anything. And suddenly this giant spike, and I was like, what is happening? Like, did it get posted somewhere? I initially was all negative, thinking like, someone said something horrible and I'm in trouble. I don't know what's going on. But it was the opposite. It was this wonderful, people were discussing it. People were sharing stories from either their own lives, saying, you know, I grew up in a household that really didn't have a lot, and we would have loved something like this. Or, you know, my parent or guardian sort of did these sorts of things, and I'm so glad that this information is out there. There was, yeah, people were having incredible discussions, and they were sharing things. And, you know, from that day onward, I started to get emails from people. Like, I remember one of the first guys was this fellow named Christian. And he told me he was going back to college and he was really frightened because he knew he wasn't going to be able to work nearly as much. And he was going to have to go on food stamps for the first time in his life. And he was like, I thought I was just going to be eating ramen noodles and I didn't know what I was going to do. And he saw the book and now he was feeling confident. And I followed up with him and he's actually doing really well, which is amazing. Every day since, I've gotten sort of similar messages from people in all kinds of different situations. And it was just so exciting. And that made me realize that I needed to get it out there, you know, to people who aren't necessarily on the internet at all. Or even if they are, maybe they're not on Reddit, they're not looking the right place. So then we decided to launch a Kickstarter project. And I'm not sure if your listeners will know what a Kickstarter is, basically a crowdfunding model. And you sort of ask for a certain amount of money to do a project, and people can support you at different levels of funding. And so we did this like a Tom's Shoes sort of model, buy one, give one. And we asked for $20 would get you a book just sent to you, $25 would get you one book sent to you, and then that would subsidize one to go to someone in need. And then we had $29 was buy one, give two. So we were sort of trying to like nudge people to give more away because I sort of didn't mention it, but really the whole premise of this was So the PDF that I put up on my website was free, and it was always very important that the cookbook sort of be free for anyone who really was interested in the information and who could benefit from it. I didn't want to create any sort of barrier to that. And so with the Kickstarter, you know, we need money in order to print books, obviously, but I still wanted it to be freely available for people who really, you know, for whom like $20 for a book is like really, that's a lot. So that was the project, and we asked for $10,000. I thought we'd do a print run of about 500 and kind of work with a local nonprofit, get them out there. But everyone else had other plans for us. We got to the $10,000 goal within the first 36 hours of the campaign. And from then on, it went up to $144,000, which like completely blew my mind. And we ended up printing, that allowed us, through the amazing economies of scale, we're able to print 40,000 books. Both amazing, but also, was, you know, just my husband and I in our little apartment. Yeah, just kind of a terrifying prospect, actually, because we didn't really know what we were doing with book distribution. We didn't have the best plan yet. So that allowed us, basically, we sent out 7,000 directly to the backers of the Kickstarter project and a few other people who sort of got in on it later. And then those same folks basically subsidized about 9,000 to be sent freely. And we worked with nonprofits to do that. I think people sometimes ask me, like, oh, did you work directly with the families? It's like, I'm not really in a position to sort of decide who is the best candidate for these things. So we worked with people who are much better at that kind of thing than I am. And that way, and the other thing was, so initially I was thinking we'd do it all in New York City, you know, I was saying 500, I'll just give it to one nonprofit. But because we were working with people from all over the country, even, I mean, tons of people from Canada, of course, because, you know, we have my friends and family and my networks back home. And then even people, like, we had Japanese backers, we had Australian backers, English backers, people all over Europe, people in South America. It was extraordinary. And I sort of was like, oh my God, we can't give them all away just in New York. That would be so unfair. So we sort of reached out to nonprofits all across the country. So we had 9,000 were given away directly. And then the balance, the rest of the about 24,000, 25,000 books were, we sold them to the nonprofits at cost, so about $4 a book. And we sort of said, hey, if you will give these for free to your clients, we'll sell them to you for only $4. And that was really popular. And so we got rid of the 40,000 by, this all happened last summer, and we had, I added a bunch of new recipes to the book. We printed it, and then we had them all out by December.
Well, that's a little different way to do a Kickstarter. Usually you ask for the money and people give, but you're actually giving them something for what they're giving you.
Right. Well, and I think Kickstarter's usually there's some sort of a product involved eventually, but it's usually like a little ways out. And often, you know, they'll take a while. It'll be like a year or so before you get your product. Or it's sort of the concept of the product and we're developing it. But yeah, this is a bit more of a concrete kind of thing. And also, not only were we giving it to them, but what was really interesting was that we were also, there was the option to really just say, like, I want to contribute to this and please give my copies away. And a lot of people chose that. It was really, really interesting. The number of people who just liked the idea of giving away a useful cookbook to people. It was really heartwarming, actually, and really, really cool. It was sort of made me realize just how many people are out there who really want to do something about these issues. I mean, the fact is, good and cheap is not going to solve hunger by any stretch of the imagination. It is one tiny corner of the problem, but I think that when you give people something concrete to do and something to support about something that is, you know, a really big, scary, awful problem that I think we all care a lot about, that they jump at the chance to help. It was really, really neat. So because of the success of the Kickstarter and all this that we were doing, we ended up hearing from a few different publishers, and I ended up working with Workman Publishing, who we hooked up with to do the second edition of the book, added a bunch of new recipes to it and some, got it redesigned and beautifully, beautifully done. And so now we have a second edition and professional distributors, not just my husband and I doing it ridiculously. And I was so thrilled that they wanted to do and are so supportive of doing the buy one, give one.
Lynn, I want to find out from you who this cookbook is actually for. I mean, you can do this on $4 a day. It's just not people on the SNAP program or food stamp program, is it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, it's everyone. I hear from I often sort of highlight students and retirees as sort of two groups of people who I tend to hear from a lot and who have a particular interest in sort of budget cooking. But the fact is, it's everyone. I mean, this is sort of conceptualized as budget cooking, but it's really about unleashing just the power of cooking to allow you to eat well for very little, but also just simply to eat well. If you can cook, you can have exactly what you want. You know, I would rather have my fettuccine Alfredo than most restaurants' fettuccine Alfredo. You know, and that is one of those. There's so many really, really simple dishes that can be made at home. I think, you know, the sort of concept of cooking from scratch, for a lot of people, that sounds like, oh my gosh, that's intimidating, I can't do it. I mean, we were talking earlier, I have one recipe, I have all kinds of incredibly simple recipes in the book, something like splitting a grapefruit in half, sprinkling some brown sugar on it, and just putting it under the broiler. I mean, that's still a recipe, that's still cooking, that's still making yourself something wonderful. And not everything has to be, you know, 45 different steps and really difficult. Things like making, we have a beautiful recipe for pulled pork in the book, and I think a lot of people think, oh, pulled pork, that's hard to do, that's something you get in a restaurant. But all it is you take some spices, you pat it into the meat, it's this big, tough cut of meat, very inexpensive. You put it in either a slow cooker, you can do it on the grill, or my favorite thing to do is the oven, because that's what I have in my apartment in New York. I don't have a grill, unfortunately. You just cook it on really low heat overnight. You wake up in the morning and it smells incredible. And all you do is just pull the meat apart and there you go. I mean, the fact is there's so many, and that one, you know, takes a lot of time, very little effort. But there are a lot of things that are really, really quick to put together. You know, things like, for example, a lot of people like pasta, and maybe they'll say, oh, I love spaghetti with tomato sauce or with meat sauce. And so I buy a jar of sauce. The sauces are totally lousy compared to what you can do so easily. The absolute best tomato sauce is just a can of good quality tomatoes. And canned tomatoes are wonderful. Canned tomatoes are great. Most of the time, they're better than fresh tomatoes, except for the small window in the summer when you can get the really good ones. And all you have to do is add, you know, a little bit of either some olive oil or a little bit of butter to a pan, some garlic, throw your can of tomatoes in there. I usually like to add a little bit of chili flakes, and that's it. Like, that's really it. And it's going to be so much better than the tomato sauce that you're getting in this jar that has, you know, sugar added and all this other sort of random junk that you don't need and that doesn't really contribute to the flavor. It's really as easy as that. Like, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about cooking from scratch. It's not like everything has to be these crazy, crazy things. And so I'm really trying to kind of just open up that world for people, invite more people into the kitchen, remind people of how simple it is and how much pleasure it can really bring into your life. I think we get to eat three meals a day. That's what a wonderful thing that we get to do that. And each of those meals should be as good as it possibly can be. And I want as many people as possible to know what they can do and be in a position to be able to do it.
Yeah, and I only had one problem with this book, didn't you?
Okay.
You want to know what it is?
Yes.
All right. You know, I was reading this book and looking at it, and the pictures look so delicious, but there's nobody to cook it for me when I'm reading it. That's my problem. I can't
taste
it.
Well, there you go. I'm hoping that will slowly push you to try something yourself.
You know, and you know, I think I can do the grapefruit. I can slice that in half, put brown sugar on it, put it under my toaster oven.
Yeah.
And, it looks delicious. I'm going to try that. And something else I didn't realize is that, you know, I know there are plantains out there that look like bananas that I've never really tried.
Right.
But you are cooking with bananas, and I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, there's one recipe. It's for basically just caramelized bananas. It's a really simple thing. I think a lot of readers have either had it on their own, or they put it on top of ice cream, or they'll have it with some other dessert. And it's really, all you do is add a little bit of brown sugar and butter to a pan. And that's basically how you make a butterscotch sauce. That's really all it is. And so you let the sugar melt into the butter, and it creates this kind of sauce. You throw your bananas into the, gently your bananas into the pan and just let them cook for a minute, and they'll caramelize with all that beautiful sauce underneath them. And basically, bananas have this wonderful quality when you cook them. They basically become like this sort of custard, like soft custard inside. And then the outside is almost a little bit crispy from from the caramel. And so they're like, they're crispy on the outside and then bursting with this custardiness on the inside. They're really extraordinary. And they're wonderful in, I also have a banana pancakes recipe, and they sort of have that same quality in the pancakes there. They have this like beautiful custardy quality. I mean, I think that's one of the cool things is there's a lot of fruits and vegetables in this book. There's a big focus on that. And part of that is just because we all need to eat more fruits and vegetables. It should be, in general, it should be, we should be eating about 50% of our diet should be fruits and vegetables. But the other thing is practical. It's meat is expensive. And the sort of typical American diet where meat is always the center of the plate is not very affordable. And we're a big outlier, you know, like the American diet is so different from most other cultures where meat is sort of more of a flavoring. It's something, it's a small amount. I mean, the pulled pork that I was talking about earlier, that's maybe something where you have, you know, this large amount of this wonderful meat and you use it a few different ways throughout the week. You know, you have it on a salad one day, you have a little bit on a sandwich, you have it as part of a platter another day. That's sort of the way that meat should be done rather than always. And not that you can't have a steak some days, and that's important to have as well, especially if that's something that you value. You should never deny yourself the things that matter to you. But it doesn't need to be half the plate every day. You know, there's so much exciting. I feel like vegetables and fruits are so undervalued sort of culinarily, and especially for the home cook. But there's so many exciting things that you can do with them. And when you're cooking on a budget where you're sort of having to have a pantry of pretty basic things, you know, rice and other grains, dried beans, these sort of really basic, really inexpensive things, then the way that you can bring really excitement and variation into your diet is to have whatever fruits and vegetables are in season at a given time. And that's how you're going to have interesting food on the regular.
Well, Good and Cheap, of course, your first book, you're probably looking at that next step, maybe another book, maybe on Food Network or something also.
We'll see. I don't know about that one. I do hope to do another book. Right now, you know, we're starting the book tour. This one just came out. I'm really excited. I do want to do another book, but I'm excited to sort of go around the country a little bit on the tour and talk to people about the book right now and see kind of what are people interested in, because I have a few ideas, but I want to see. I feel like Good and Cheap had this strange journey, you know, from thesis then to online, then through the Kickstarter, and it's changed, and I've added stuff to it as I've spoken with people, and I feel like it's benefited so much from that. So I hope to be able to do that again with another book.
Well, I was telling my wife about this book, and she just bought some Kino, which we tried it maybe about a week ago, and I'm really happy to see that there's a recipe in there for that. And not only that, but she also makes hummus.
Oh, good.
But she looks for a recipe. And I said, there's a hummus recipe or two in Good and Cheap also. She's kind of excited about
seeing
this.
That's right. Oh, good. Yes, I think I've hummus four ways, and I think I have a bit of a problem where I like to introduce a recipe and then say, here's the different ways you can make it. Because there are so many basic recipes, but you can flavor things however you want. I think of oatmeal eight ways. I have all these different things on toast. Good and Cheap is sort of odd in that way because each recipe sort of is almost 10 recipes in one, because I suggest so many different ways that you should do it. And I think that's an important way to look at food, is sort of think about the basic recipe and then think about, you know, what can you get for cheap that week, or, you know, what do you happen to have on hand and know that you can make something out of that.
And I think I have the title for your next book. It's amazing. Eight ways a week.
Yeah, right.
Because you've got the oatmeal eight ways.
Right.
You know, okay. But anyway, let's find out maybe about a website if we want to find out more about Good and Cheap, where you'll be at, maybe on tour so we can see you, what's coming up next and everything. I'm sure you've got a website.
I do, yes. It's just my name, leannebrown.com. You can find everything on there, information about the tour. You can download the free PDF there. You can find out links to anywhere that you can buy the book. And I do encourage anyone who can afford it, if you're interested at all, to buy it, because for every one that you buy, one is donated to someone in need. So you kind of help move that project along. And the other really wonderful thing on my website that I'm so proud of is we have this impact map that shows all the different nonprofits that we worked with. There's over 600 of them. So you can probably see the ones in your local community and kind of follow up and see the potential and see how many different organizations are kind of interested in this stuff, because it runs the gamut from schools to health organizations to farmers markets to food banks. anything you can imagine. It's really, really interesting.
So when you're out on tour, are you going to schools and the such? Or
yeah, we will be here and there. So it's going to depend on the city, basically. Sometimes I'll be doing things at bookstores, but we're often partnering with someone local who is doing something interesting. And that'll be, yeah, it'll depend on the city, but it'll be any of the things that I mentioned earlier.
Do you know who did the pictures on this? I mean, did you do them?
I did them.
Did
yes,
you?
I know the person very intimately.
Those are very
all
professional.
All those photos, most of them were done in the back, in the window of my bedroom where I have really nice light streaming into the window. So on the windowsill, I just put everything.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you.
it really is. And, you know, if you get the book and you check out the pictures, you'll find them very amazing. Well, you know, a lot of things in Good and Cheap that even I can make, and
yes,
I'm not that much of a
definitely
cook.
Definitely.
This is a book where you can either be a beginner cook, you can be a cook that knows their way around the
but maybe
kitchen,
looking for something new that you haven't tried before. Yeah, absolutely. I want everyone to be able to recognize themselves in the book or their family in the book, you know, from singles through if you have a big family.
All right. Well, you know, Good and Cheap, Leanne Brown's brand new book. She says you can eat well on $4 a day. Hey, you know the front of it? It'll give seasonal items that you can buy cheaper than maybe you can other times. She also looks at maybe some equipment that you can have. Good and Cheap doesn't take anything that you don't have. There's nothing special you have to buy. I mean, you've got it at home. You're all set with Good and Cheap to cook your way to success. Leanne, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Leanne Brown, author of her brand new book, Good and Cheap. Eat well on $4 a day. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.